first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Spouting Off. It is such a pleasure to be here and to have you along with us. And I got some thoughts about Fridays. I love Fridays. Years ago, when I wasn't happily married, I dreaded Fridays and the weekend because I was all about work, 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 work. And now that I am happily married, I look forward to the weekends, and I hope you do too. I hope that you have the joy of love in your life as well, and that you think about something more than politics, which of course we mostly do around here on Spouting Off, and the issues of the day. But like anything, you can't do it 24/7. It would make us all very dull boys and girls. So, couple of other thoughts about Friday. I haven't talked up Cash Friday for a while, and that's very interesting. When I started hearing about Cash Friday, Catherine Austin Fitz was the first person who said, we want to push back the whole notion of digital currency and the digital dollar and being surveilled with what we buy. It's become really creepy, and for obvious reasons, that not just the woke corporations, but woke corporations doing business with a overreaching government want to get into our lives, into the privacy of every aspect of our lives. We've seen this again and again. And paying cash doesn't just protect your privacy. It protects the use of the dollar and pushes back against the notion that everything should be computerized. And boy, oh boy, I could do a two-hour monologue rant spouting off about the inefficiencies, the collectivism, the actual horrible negative downside of everything being computerized. This happened on steroids after COVID, but it was even before that, because it gives people the opportunity to, computers do so many things, but in particular, it collectivizes us all. Think about it, and I'm getting off on a tangent. Oh no, I gotta say this while it's on my mind. If I've never done computer programming, but if you've done computer programming, you know that you have to generalize things, and in order to program a computer, you have to get the computer to anticipate what the great majority of people will say. So it elevates the notion that we're all just groups of entities and tries to quantify that. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've heard in my everyday life, well, the computer won't let me. Have you heard that? The computer won't let me. We're all taking orders from computers. Those bad sci-fi movies that showed us that not just artificial intelligence, which is a whole other subject, but the advent and the worship and the dependence and reliance on computers is coming back to bite us big time. It is dumbing down the public because they can't even add two and two. It is reducing us all to robots ourselves because we have to look to a computer to tell us whether we're able to think for ourselves. Let me just extol the virtues of cash, and then I might come back to this because I have more to say. So Cash Fridays, and you can do Cash Tuesdays, Cash Thursdays, Cash Mondays, anything you want, is such a valuable personal way to make a statement that we deserve to do business, to engage in free commerce in a free country by using cash. We could go down another rabbit hole and talk about the fiat currency that we are now using in place of actual value for our dollar, but I'm not going to give you a commercial about gold and silver and all that. I'm not qualified anyway. But to use cash, I thought, I'll tell you, I saw a store in my travels not long ago that said that they refused to take cash. And this disturbed me greatly because I thought a lot of other people would get on that bandwagon and say, we're not going to accept your cash anymore, which is outrageous. It's like saying, you know, it's the opposite of cash is king. So I wouldn't do business in a store like that if I was forced to use a credit card. Believe it or not, there are older people who don't even have credit cards because they don't like them. They don't want to use them. That should be an option. Those pro-choice leftists aren't very pro-choice about really anything except abortion. You can have a choice to have an abortion, but you can't have a choice about anything else in life, including your own God-given rights and freedoms. But so I digress. The good news is on the cash front that I am seeing local stores in my area giving discounts because people use cash, because lo and behold, they're passing along the increasing prices of taking credit cards. A lot of companies will not pass along that cost, but very small businesses, which of course the radical globalist communist left hates small businesses. They used to love them and hated Walmart. Now they love Walmart and hate small businesses. You know, they change on a dime. That being said, I'm seeing a lot of companies giving discounts for cash. I love that. I am willing, and I hope you are too, to use cash more often and not let yourself be bullied and intimidated by airline miles and all the rest of it. Yes, it's convenient, and that's why they give you so many incentives to go into debt on credit cards for those who are in debt. But the price has gotten very high. I'm not saying throw away your credit cards. Some people need to. I'm saying use cash whenever it's convenient, whenever you can, mostly because the authoritarian machine that we're dealing with doesn't like it. They don't like cash. First, they didn't like gold and silver. They liked fiat currency. Now they don't like cash either. So they're constantly manipulating us in transportation, in currency, in media, in NFL, in anything has been politicized. I will come back to that. So I mentioned that, let me move on here and talk about a wonderful article. I said I would come back to that, but let me just move on and talk about a marvelous article by one of the best writers ever. And there's a lot of them out there. And that is a guy who you may know named Kurt Schlichter. He makes a point in one of his recent articles. He is a prolific writer. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing him many times. And the article is called Normalcy Bias. He came up with a term for something I've been observing for a very long time. And he expresses it better. And I'll just read you the very beginning of this. One of the most powerful tactics in the left's arsenal is leveraging the reluctance of conservatives to accept that the foundational reality of our society has changed. What a brilliant point I don't mean to be immodest. I've been talking about this for a long time. The very nature of conservatives is that they don't like change. They want to preserve the old and not make changes easily. That is fundamentally a good thing. But in the current reality that Kurt Schlichter talks about, and calling it something called normalcy bias, it is not such a good idea to assume that the systems that you've always depended on that would be bound by the rule of law, by the Constitution, the systems of a fair and free voting in America, which has been monkeyed with to such an extent that many people are suspicious and don't trust the honesty and integrity of our elections. Hilariously, the radical left complained about that until they decided to weaponize the very questioning of that. Absurd. Why shouldn't people question? Well, many Democrats have questioned it when they didn't win. But when Republicans bring evidence, loads and loads of evidence of irregularities in voting, then they're threatening our democracy, quote unquote, which is so absurd. Dissent, the lack of dissent, putting down and censoring opposing opinion, asking questions is what threatens democracy and a republic, which is what we are. Now, Kurt Schlichter goes on to say that we have got to accept, and that's a really hard thing, without accepting it and tolerating it, we have to accept that these great institutions that have been dependent upon are not reliable anymore and have been corrupted. And that's why people already know you're not going to see any accountability after the Durham report, which took 5 years, and I didn't have a whole long time to talk about it. But it's amazing that the public accepts the fact. Why? Because justice delayed is justice denied, and it was denied on purpose. That's heartbreaking, but we gotta tell the truth here, and that's what we do. We have your fave and mine, Keith Hansen, going to join us, talking about a couple of really cool issues. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline. Good to have you along here at our flagship station of 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM. We don't do a huge amount of local politics here, but none better to help us do that. And we're not going to spend the whole segment doing that, but oh boy, he's well known to many people in the New Hampshire, Vermont area. His name is Keith Hansen, known as the Common Sense Conservatism, the voice, excuse me, of Common Sense Conservatism, host of the Keith Hansen Show. He's an active entrepreneur and business owner, professional trainer, certified life coach, and avid public speaker and a talented chef. Oh my God, a man of many talents. Hi, Keith. How you been doing?
Karen, it is great to be back with you. How are you?
I am doing fine, and we love Fridays. Thank God it's Friday. I know that you you keep very, very busy, but you keep on top of New Hampshire issues as well as national. And I asked you this morning, we'll start with something funny, and then we'll get to something a heck of a lot more serious. I hope it's funny. Biden campaign scrambles to avoid disaster in New Hampshire. Looks like the Biden botch of ballots in New Hampshire in the primaries struck again. What do you think about that?
You know, it's always funny. I really enjoy it when I watch Democrats and progressives eat their own. Because sooner or later, it's like you get caught in a lie. If you lie enough, sooner or later, it bites you. And I think it's the same concept here. When you try to play games and rig political processes to your advantage, sooner or later, you're going to wind up becoming ensnared in what you created.
And exactly, I didn't do a good job of laying that out, but that's exactly what happened, right? It was the left that changed the election laws to monkey around with stuff, and now they're getting bit by it because his name might not even appear on the ballot.
Yeah. And now there's talk of, the Democrat Party is floating the idea of doing their own party-run primary. This is par for the course. Is Biden going to wind up running again? I don't know. I think he is. I think he's gearing up for it. But the bottom line is that I don't really think even Democrats want another 4 years of this just doddering old man. The man is not capable and competent, of sitting in that position. There's how anybody can look at this guy He can't figure out which way to go when he comes off of a stage.
Well, the left loves these people.
He's not Feinstein, mentally fit for office.
Yeah, Feinstein is appearing. I hate to say this because I like to respect the elderly, but Weekend at Bernie's, right? Fetterman, Feinstein, and Biden, they're all appearing. It looks like, well, you know, as long as we can control them, we don't care if they're the walking ill, right?
You know, at CPAC this year, there was a couple of T-shirts that were floating around. I really liked it. It said, Biden Fetterman 2024. It's a no-brainer.
So, a no-brainer. I saw that. Well, we've had our little laugh. Now we're going to talk about something. The topic is I'm very passionate about, but you have some history to share. And that is, because you get on these, not tangents, but you get on these topics and then you start delving further and further. Transgenderism. I don't even like the term trans kids because I don't think there are trans kids. That term has been pushed down our throats and people are buying it and using it, and they shouldn't. But transgenderism has a history in satanic cults in the 1980s, saith Keith Hansen. Tell us more.
Well, it's not so much that it has the roots in it, but there's a lot of similarities. So we would all agree that Scientology is a pretty dangerous cult, right? I mean, it's destructive. And what's amazing is that the concept, the game of Scientology, basically, is that if you look at the theology of Scientology, that we're all born with these things inside of us called thetans. And thetans are responsible for all of the ills of humanity. And you can achieve different levels of religious and spiritual consciousness if you pay the Scientology church enough right. money, and they guide you through different levels of basically purging thetans from your body. It's a great scam.
It costs millions to get rid of your thetans.
I'm sorry?
Or to even find out you have them. Yes.
Well, everybody has them. Everybody has them. They just work on a subcellular level, evidently. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. But, you know, this was the premise of Scientology. And when you look at this, the model is convince people that they have a problem and then sell them the solution.
Yeah.
You've got a problem and you don't even know about it. That's really what was the thing that was, it was big up here in New England a couple of years ago.
Well,
it was
I'm thinking of Music
bias.
Man.
Implicit
well,
bias.
You got trouble, my friends, because
implicit
there's a pool
bias.
Table in River City. He created the problem and he had the solution. It's as old as dirt.
Right. Implicit bias was this concept that, and this was really taking root in Vermont. A couple of years ago. Implicit bias is that you're racist and you don't even know it. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a series of tests that, of course, were written and developed by left-leaning psychologists. And you're going to take this test and you're going to see how you are implicitly biased against people who are different than you are, and you don't even realize it. But that's okay, because we're all, to a certain degree, implicitly biased. But we have training programs now that we can sell the state-level government agencies and the city and the county and the town and the municipalities. In fact, the Department of Justice was having its employees go through, both sworn and non-sworn employees, going through the implicit bias training. You have a problem. You don't even know about it. But we recognize it because, of course, we're far smarter than you are. And so we're going to sell you a solution and we're going to fix the problem. Scientology built their entire premise off of this. You have multi-billion dollar industries right now in this country that is basically training people how not to be implicitly biased. It's almost like Ghostbusters. When Richard Peck from the EPA was accusing the Ghostbusters of putting on these fantastical light shows and smoke shows, and then they would conveniently show up, convince people that they had ghosts, and then charge them to eliminate the ghosts. And Peck in the movie was obviously trying to convince, you know, the mayor of New York City
classic mobster
that the
Ghostbusters tactic.
Were scammers.
Yeah, it's a classic mobster tactic, too.
Right.
You go to a business, you say, you need protection. Well, I don't need protection. Who do I need protection from? Me. Let's go back to, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I'm sorry. Transgenderism and satanic cults. I just wanted to keep people know about that.
If you remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, there was this phenomenon. It's funny. I bring this up to people and it takes them a moment and they stop and they think about it and say, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. But yeah, you're right. There was this big push back in the late 80s, early 90s. Everybody was satanically abused, ritualistically abused. You had these kids that were, for whatever reason, they were broken, they were whatever. And they would go to these psychologists, and the psychologists would help these people through regression therapy or hypnosis or whatever to now get in touch with memories that they had suppressed years and years and years ago, that their teachers, that their grandparents, there were educators who were actually being criminally charged. And there was a famous case in Massachusetts about this. People were accusing their parents and their grandparents of bringing them into the basement late at night and performing, you know, satanic ritual abuse on them and slaughtering animals and this. And they were fabricated memories. But
you know, you're talking about something about which I have strong information about. I'm going to let you continue, but there actually is such a thing as satanic ritual abuse. It's much more rare than some people think. And yes, it could become a social contagion, just like we're seeing with transgender. But there really are. I mean, I have known people who are multiple personalities who did indeed suffer ritual abuse. So are you saying it doesn't exist at all? Or was it just a cult?
Listen, I mean, with the amount of people that are out there and with what actually happens in society today, I'm sure at some point, does it happen? I'm sure you could probably find instances where it does. Ken Lanning, who was a behavioral profiler for the FBI, wrote a very, very famous 18-page report on this and said that there really was no evidence that, aside from a few isolated cases, that this was something that was nearly as widespread as what people were suggesting that it was. Am I going to say that it doesn't happen at all? Of course not. I'm sure there's a lot of weird things and weirder things than that happen. But the point being is that this was actually something that was taking on the template that you see with transgenderism.
Social contagion.
This is something that you saw in the molestation and the abuse. It was really a panic. It was almost like a mass psychosis in society where, I mean, teachers and daycare workers and grandparents and all this were being falsely charged with ridiculous accusations that they were molesting kids and that they were sacrificing children to Satan and raping babies and all of this stuff. And the craze was really centered around, if you have a kid who is unhappy or is in any way, shape, or form behaving abnormally, then this person must have been molested or satanically ritually abused, and we have to get to the root of this so that way there we can save this person. And it was really the psychology industry versus the teachers at that point, which is one of the reasons why I think it phased out as quickly as it did. But one of the things about transgenderism, now take the exact same concept. If you have a kid who is unhappy, the reason why that child is unhappy is because they were assigned the wrong gender when they were born. They've been identifying as the wrong gender, and now we have to help them to find their true gender in order to save them. But the problem now is that you have the psychology industry and the teacher industries, both of which are largely female-driven, are now pushing this. This is why this isn't going to go away anytime soon, but it's a for-profit thing as well, because they're making money off it. Scientologists made money off of it. The psychologists made money off of it. People were making names for themselves, and they were validating their psychological practices by becoming subject matter experts on satanic ritual abuse. Now you have a medical industry, a psychological industry, and an educational industry that are all in collusion with this trannyism craze that, well, any kid who's unhappy, it has to be because, and it's a foredrawn conclusion. It's Donald Trump is guilty of something, so go out and figure out what it is.
Unfortunately, then, you know, we don't have enough time to really delve, and I wish we did, but we're fascinating topic, but I see a big difference here in that in the trans cult that's going on now, it seems directly connected to a political agenda being paid for and sponsored by people like George Soros, who, if you put it in the context of the new globalist Marxist agenda to weaken America and to, you know, the whole transhumanism thing is real as far as confusing the next generation, emasculating men, redefining, taking away the definition of women altogether by the same feminists who supposedly were on the feminist bandwagon. Somehow I think that's quite different because it isn't just money anymore. It's political agenda. Whereas when there was you're right, there was a social contagion about child molestation. And now they're turning around and actually molesting and abusing children. It was a social contagion, but I didn't see it as much of a political agenda as what I'm seeing with this trans cult. Could you comment on that? I know we don't have enough time to delve even deeper.
Well, I think, you know, definitely that you have the politicization of this, because as people realize and as politicians realize that they can latch onto what they perceive to be as a problem. I mean, again, problems, never let a crisis go to waste. Never let a problem go to waste. This is a situation where now unscrupulous politicians can jump on this and say, well, unlike satanic ritual abuse or Scientology, this is something that affects the schools. This is something that
affects the
society.
Problem, right? Create the problem. Forget waiting for a crisis. Make a crisis.
Well,
right?
Exacerbate the crisis,
yeah.
Or foment the crisis and then take
exactly.
advantage of and exploit the crisis. Absolutely.
Yeah. Proving once again that Keith Hansen never met a subject or a topic or a controversial issue he couldn't comment and talk about. You know, maybe we'll have to have you for a longer segment. We can talk even more about this. Talk about your show, I'm not Ed Sullivan, and how people can find you and follow you and hear you.
Well, at this point, it's archives right now because my show is still on hiatus. My professional training calendar is booked out to the point where I can't commit to doing regular media right now. So right
okay.
now, what I do are the the hits like this. And
unfortunately, I gotta go
like
and leave it there. I ask you these questions and then I interrupt you. I'm sorry. We'll have you back real soon, Keith Hansen. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off. We always love having you.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it.
Take care. Well, we'll have another. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Sometimes you need a woman's opinion, especially if you're trying to do the impossible, which is to understand women. I'm not really comfortable talking about certain things with women I know or even with family members. I used to wish there was a smart woman who didn't know me, but who would care enough to give me good advice. Now there is. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only, but it's not therapy or phone dating. It's just wise advice. It's completely anonymous because you call and pay through liveadvice.com. So I decided to give it a try. I was amazed at Aunt Emma's insights. She gave me a lot to think about so I could decide what to do next. And maybe she can help you too. Find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or register at liveadvice.com and you can speak to her practically right away. Again, you can find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or you can register at liveadvice.com. Get the female perspective. Just ask Aunt Emma. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only. Must be 18 or older.
1590 WSMN.
The Village Network was created for only one reason, to keep those 62 and older in their home as long as possible, ideally for the rest of their life. The Village Network is the answer for children who do not live nearby and worry about their parents being able to remain independently and safely at home. The Village Network has a network of trusted providers and volunteers who provide transportation, home repair, home-delivered meals, grocery shopping, and others who are there to help when you need them. We can even find someone to walk your dog. The Village Network does not charge thousands of dollars of upfront costs for services you may never need. With the Village Network, you only pay for services when you need them. Become a member of the Village Network today by calling 603-891-0008. That's 603-891-0008. The Village Network. Become a member today.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And I hope you're doing something wonderful for the weekend. If you're not, I hope you find something good. We always pray for this country and for our liberty and for accountability and that sort of thing. Part of it is to find ways to enjoy every moment, every moment. I am pleased to have with us once again Sargis Sangari, a person who's going to talk with us about Ukraine. So much going on there, and just a lot more propaganda is happening. Sargis is a USA retired 20-plus year veteran of the United States Army Infantry, Special Operations Forces with multiple combat deployments to Iraq, a diplomatic assignment in Kuwait, and several other deployments to the Middle East, Europe, Asia, and Central America. Thank you so much for your service, Sargis, and we are pleased to have you on Spouting Off.
No, it's good to be here, and I hope I'm not coming across a little bit weak. I know that you're a little bit low in my ear, but this happened technically. So,
okay. I hope that you can hear me just fine. Hopefully our producer heard that, but we can hear you just fine. And let's start with the fact that the news just reported that Zelensky of Ukraine is going to attend the G7 conference, and he's been running around Europe, Saudi Arabia, the Pope. He's talking to everybody, trying to garner support. What's going on there for those of us who probably are not privy to the information you are?
Well, the issue that Ukraine is dealing with, it's in a very critical position over the next few months. I know we've been hearing in the news, or the audience might be hearing in the news, that they might be trying to mount a counteroffensive against the Russians. The reality of that problem is that that counteroffensive needs ammunition, which needs to be purchased to be able to be used to mount those type of attacks. The Ukrainians, for every one round that they fire, receive 10 to 15 rounds from their Russians. It is very difficult for them to do so. Now, we have committed from the United States billions of dollars to the effort of this war. Almost $2 billion in Poland, $2 billion in, by the UK. However, that money is moving its way into the theater of operation to support the war, reason being because most of the support that needs to come is really based on the United States, the current administration, being able to work with Congress, possibly backfill whatever is the losses that the NATO nations are taking in order to be able to support the war effort in Ukraine. Unfortunately, some of our allies and Poles, sure, I might be heading out to Poland this Sunday for a week to conduct a regional assessment on where we are when it comes to the current war, really is not able to secure any real commitment by the U.S. administration that if they do continue to spend money on this war effort, that would be any type of a replacement or support dollar commitments from the U.S. to backfill it. And I think that's where Zelensky finds himself. The Russians are about to mount another millions plus soldiers coming across the border to possibly conduct more combat operations. But in Ukraine, unfortunately, Ukraine is right now just bleeding out, losing ammunition. And some folks have figured maybe this is a decision that possibly some Western nations have made to basically allow Ukraine to be nothing more than an area, which would be nothing more than a counterinsurgency, a smaller Ukraine that by its name is borderlands, will become that borderline where the fight will take place with Americans possibly wanting to bleed out the Russians on a continuous basis over the next decade. That being the case, this is why some of this support for Ukraine and Zelensky is now really weaker than it was months ago.
Sargas, I'm going to ask you to express an opinion. You're a reporter and you've studied and you have... when the war started, when this war in Ukraine started, the media didn't just report on the war. They told us from the very beginning what to think about it. They told us who the bad guys are. They told us who the good guys were. They elevated Zelensky into this heroic status. They gave Putin the Trump treatment. He's a Hitler. He's evil. And I'm always suspicious, especially with the current media, as to how they have framed this war in order to spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars while America is struggling and suffering under the weight of massive debt. I'm glad that the war is getting less popular, but what's really going on here from your perspective? I don't believe the media. I don't think a lot of people believe the media when they say either that Tucker Carlson report, part of maybe one of the reasons he was fired. He wasn't fired. That's another story. Because he said that there was a whistleblower who said that Ukraine was losing the war, that it's a proxy war between Russia and the United States. None of what we're being told is true. What's true?
Well, it is a proxy war. I don't think that's something that is anything that cannot be seen. Look, nations fight in each other's backyards. I mean, once the United States said that we're going to support Ukraine and Russia is on the other side attacking Ukraine, it becomes a proxy war. You don't need to have some, you don't need to be this individual with top secret clearances to understand this is something that is very simple.
There have been many of them. You know? The Middle East are proxy wars, right? I mean, we've seen it again and again. Large countries supporting one side. The missiles of October in Cuba was a proxy standoff of sorts, right? So,
Well, it is, because by themselves, Ukraine can't support a fight against Russia. They're willing to fight. But if it isn't for the equipment that they're being given and the bullets and the money, they're not going to be able to fight.
So why are we at war with Russia?
It's easy to say it's a proxy war. It's not something that is outside of the norms. It's how nations fight each other. Look, when Russia was in Afghanistan, we were bleeding out the Russians. When the Americans went back, we went into Afghanistan. There is a lot that the Russians were doing to make sure we bled out, to include even through the China Cooperation Organization led by China, which was targeting what we were trying to do with our allies in Afghanistan to have a long-term footprint there. So these fights continue, but this all tied again to what I would say, and I wrote an article about it, model of power relations in the Middle East crisis. I was in Japan in 2015, a briefing on an anti-terrorism discussion. When I came back on October, I wrote the article, and in September of 2012, the Chinese foreign minister Wang Yi gave a speech at the Brookings Institute where he presented basically China's vision of the future. And the address was called A New Power Relations. And in according to him, he said that the China and United States interests are clearly divergent. And for us to avoid a major conflict, we need to be able to come together from a Chinese perspective on what global dominance should be. Now, everybody was waiting for Susan Rice when Obama became the president to actually find a way, stand on stage and counter it. However, when she gave her talk at George Washington University, she talked about how to actualize the new power relations. And in that discussion, U.S. was going to have a managed decline, which were part of those actual discussions that took place, to include we were going to lead the Middle East. But for Obama, he was going to pivot to South America, and we were going to fight over the natural resources in Africa. However, either Europe or Russia were going to emerge as being the main power broker in Europe. And what is happening to try to resolve that issue to see who's going to be the main power broker is the war in Ukraine. So this was a natural process. I wrote a new article as to showing how the chess pieces are moving in that particular direction. Keep in mind, Susan Rice, who initially tried to actualize Wang Yi's vision, for the U.S. Under Obama administration, was in the current administration. And the signs are still similar. They haven't changed. So until there's a change to that dynamic, then you're not going to see any real changes to where the U.S. is going to become a major player on the global stage.
We're living it. We're watching it. We're seeing it. We're talking to a 20-plus-year veteran of the United States Army and a Special Operations Forces, multiple combat. And what you are saying is that an elected president of the United States and his representatives spoke openly about diminishing the country that they represent and joining our enemies who do not share our principles on either freedom or free markets. You're saying that that was said in the open, and yet we are watching this happen right now. It's not just a decline, it's a destruction.
Well, it is taking place. The problem you're running into is that from the U.S. perspective, they don't look at the other side using any means possible to achieve those end goals. As an example, in Africa, the Chinese are giving money to Muslim militiamen in Nigeria to kill Christians that are in the areas that they want to move their conglomerates in. United States doesn't even talk about that because their worry is if you talk about it, we may lose the Nigerians. And the battle that's taking place in South Sudan right now between the warring factions the United States goes in and says, can we come to the table and find a means to work together? When the Russians go in and basically pay off one side or another to basically wipe out ethnicities if need be for their wants and desires.
Who are these people's sides on? We have to wrap it up, and I want to give people something because this is complicated stuff. The previous administration, President number 44, this globalist Marxist agenda, whose side are they on? Russia or China or both? Because they don't appear to be on the side of the United States of America.
Well, they agreed on the Chinese version by Wang Yi, who's still in the current government, and they tried to actualize it. They actually talked about that in the open. But China is a lead for the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which Russia and Iran are members of. So that in itself says that if you're going to agree with them, that means you're agreeing with everybody else who's part of that organizational structure.
You know what, Sargas? What I want to do is give everybody a clear opportunity to read this article, where they can find it and where they can find your program, because I know you have a program on Right America Media. Where do they find this article of yours?
Well, the article, they could go to the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, NECSC.net, or they could go to NEC-SE.com, and then in the search box, they could basically put New Power Relations. It will take them to all the articles that reference it. And for the program, I created a program, New Paradigms with Sargas Singiri. That was when it was initially under COVID lockdowns. It was just something I did to be able to talk to our constituents here in Illinois, and that's broadcast every month. They could go to Rumble, and they could go to YouTube to watch the videos that we have uploaded for our conversation on foreign policy and other issues.
Yeah, I want to tell everybody how to spell that name, Sargas, S-A-R-G-I-S, Sangari, S-A-N-G-A-R-I. We have about 30 seconds here in broadcasting, you know. What do you want to leave us with before we let you go?
Well, look, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. I say, you know, reach out and touch what you can do within the reach of your influence. And if you work on that, I think we might have an opportunity to at least sustain ourselves. I don't think we can ever get back to where we were, but at least we won't get worse than where we are today.
An honest assessment. We hope you're wrong. We all hope that's wrong. Sargas Sangari, thank you for joining us. We'll have you back again. That does it for Spouting Off this week. Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, while there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.